Australia's leading technology webcast.
Tech Talk for Geeks.
And welcome to Tech Webcast episode 88. I'm Trevor Long from Your Tech Life, and joining me a cast of thousands.
Yes, indeed. Woo! Hello, hello, everyone.
G'day.
Hey.
Whoop. There it is.
Rock and roll. Brad, Jason, Tim.
Hey, what's up,
Ron,
guys?
From the USA.
Yeah.
And
somebody's got an echo.
Yeah, kill the echo, Tim, again. We got Trevor on to talk about the iPhone 4. What's up, Trevor?
G'day, mate. Listen, last time I was on, we were just a week away from the iPhone 4, weren't we? We were talking about plans and options and stuff like that. But no, I've had the thing now since launch day, and it is bloody impressive, I've got to tell you. As a BlackBerry user who had an iPhone for an extended period, just because you have to, kind of thing, to understand what they do and whatnot, I think I might be sold. I think I might be converted. It's a beautiful device to hold, to look at, and to use. It's faster. It's more dynamic, and I can only imagine what the next 6 to 12 months is going to hold for application development on this device.
Good stuff. What's your favorite app on there at the moment?
It's a good question. I'd probably say that I'm stuck between Gun Range and iBomber 2. Mucking around with games, because app-wise usability in terms of what I do in my daily life, you know, mail, messaging, and I've got a GroupWise app because my office uses GroupWise. That's what I use for general apps. But to get away from life, I play a bit of gaming, and the Gun Range is, look, I'm not into shoot 'em up games, but it's just, I love it because it uses the gyroscope, and you can't imagine until you sit and hold and play this game how every single movement on every single axis you turn this phone, the Gun Range knows where you are and where you're pointing, and it's amazing. It really is.
All right.
Oh, that's the one you can spin around with, yeah? Turn around and face the other way.
Yeah, I mean, you're standing in a shooting range, either a, you know, one of those indoor ones with, you know, things coming down, or an outdoor sort of mock-up area. So you've kind of got a maybe a 60, 70 degree range, and you've got a turn to look at the whole range, you know, not full circle, but just that 60 degree angle. So you can literally hold the phone out in front of you and move around. It's actually really cool to play on a swivel chair. So you're swiveling around to look at stuff. It's a bit weird to play sitting in your office. I don't recommend it. It's the best one I use to... What I do, I mean, heaps of people obviously want to hold it and use it when I dump down at a desk with an iPhone 4. And a lot of people hold them up against their own iPhone and are stunned and blown away by the screen, because you just can't believe how good the screen is until you sit and look at it really close up. It's kind of like you want to hold it... I'm holding it now probably 10 centimetres from my face going, I just want to see the pixels, but you just can't. You just can't see the pixels. It's that amazing, and it's so bright. And look, I come from a 3G, not a 3GS, so I really notice the speed. It's lightning fast. If I do a, you know, spotlight search for, I've got about 5,000 or 6,000 contacts in my address book, so doing a search, just got to type one or two letters, and it does come up nice and quick, which was one of my big gripes before with the iPhone 3G.
Cool, good stuff, mate. Is that a review unit? Is that your own phone now, or is that gonna, you got one?
No. So I've sent back the review unit, and I've invested in my own. I haven't yet chosen a carrier for long-term plans, though. I'm probably going to switch to Telstra for a long-term plan. So only because, I'm with Optus and have been for a while, but I just don't get the best reception with Optus, full stop, where I live. So I'm thinking Telstra is going to be better, because I know that from the iPad, because I've got the iPad with Telstra. And I probably do want a bit of network reliability, so I'll give Optus another try in a couple of years. But for now, I've seen more people convert to Telstra from either Vodafone or Optus in the last few weeks I think that's going to show up in the next 6 months on their accounts, and you'll probably see Optus and Vodafone have to take action and maybe reduce their win a bit of customer base back.
Oh, Optus is he's better. Sorry, dude. Telstra sucks, and I can't broadcast you promoting Telstra. In really good news recently, Telstra's made a massive loss and they're losing huge amounts of market share to Optus and the other competitors. So if you're a Telstra customer, everybody, please hurry up and disconnect and get a better account with somebody else.
So Tim,
Telstra's also going into competing with all the others now and dropping costs right down, so everybody else is going to have to drop their prices.
Oh my God, we're complacent. Telstra's competitive?
Us, you know, they don't want us to have fast internet at cheap prices, so...
They do now, Tim. They've just changed it this week, and iiNet is very upset because Telstra is now competing directly with them, offering the same sort of deals as iiNet and other leading carriers.
I'm getting 200 gig, $80 a month, ADSL2, unmetered.
Rip-off. I get 200 gig for $60.
Yeah, but I get unmetered access to the Telstra content, which I like. I like the big pond content that I get on my TV. So, you know, you got to...
Next G is everywhere.
Bundle up your home phone and whatnot. It does. It is competitive now. It's not the cheapest, there's no doubt, but it is competitive.
Hmm. All right.
And so, Next G exists where Optus doesn't.
Exactly.
The Next G network is the killer for Optus. I mean, you leave the major metropolitan areas, and I've got family in Young, and I go out there, and I'm on 2G most of the time. That's unacceptable. Young's not a small town. I mean, it's a country town, but it's not ridiculously small. And to not have Next G or 3G there for Optus is shocking. And so I want to be able to get Next G and 3G access everywhere. That's my plan.
Mm. All right,
Ron. I got an unsolicited call from Vodafone this week trying to get me to turn over to them, and I said, well, I need 3G everywhere, and I know somewhere that you don't. And they asked me, and I told them, a place where my cousins live in the bush, not far from Newcastle, and Vodafone yet said, yep, we don't cover that area, sorry. I said, yep, Next G's the only one.
Okay. Ron Knight's got a question for Trevor.
Do I?
Do you or not? I'm just asking if you have one or not.
No, not that I can think of.
Okay, all right. So what else has been happening, Trevor, with your podcast and stuff? We've seen you on Thursday Night Live on Ustream.
Well, let me tell you this. How many of us have got iPads?
I have one.
Jason, no?
No.
Nope.
So, I just downloaded a game this morning. I'm not into... I haven't played a lot of console games. I don't understand the time. But I downloaded a thing called Madden NFL, Madden 10, Madden 11 or whatever it is, which is an NFL game. And that's crazy stuff. I mean, this is showing how iPads and probably the iPhone too will... Mate, it's just amazing how gaming is so now portable. This is such good graphics, such a good game experience. It's really cool stuff. So you'll probably see a lot of video reviews and that kind of thing coming out. But that's from EA Sports, so it's really interesting to see big gaming companies like that coming out with games on the iPad. You know, it's about a $12 or $13 game. It might be $15.99 in Australia actually. So you know, it's at the high end of gaming and app prices on the iPad, but geez, it's pretty cool to see the future of that. And what'll be interesting will be they nearly all announced that there's going to be some Android support as well. So I think Asus announced last night their pricing in the US for their tablet early next year. So the tablet market could get pretty cool next year, I reckon, guys.
Sounds good.
Trevor, what do you think of the new talk about the Apple iTV, which will run apps from the App Store and stream audio and video? Do you think that would be interesting?
I don't know. I've not been an Apple TV user, so I really can't speak for the experience and how it will change. But I saw one person say that they'll get rid of the hard drive or reduce the size of the hard drive to make it more streaming content. I don't know. I'd be going with a bit of both. I'd be running with a high hard drive and streaming content, but. There's a couple of things about that. I noticed ITV in the UK announced that they will take legal action if they try and use the name ITV. And the other thing was in the UK. Yeah, in the UK, you guys might not have seen this, but in my field, radio, it's pretty heavy digital radio stuff. And Pure, who make digital radios, and they're basically the big digital radio manufacturer in the UK, and get this, Apple have a share in this company, which will make sense of what I'm about to tell you. They announced during the week a beta trial, which will launch in the UK, of a service where your radio, so your Pure radio, which is internet connected, has a button on it, and it does a Shazam lookup. So it looks up the song that you're listening to. So any radio station, press a button and it Shazams and tells you the name of the song. You then press another button and it buys that song. Now, that's not radical, because you can do that on an iPod Nano now through the FM, and Austereo is doing that in Australia. But what's really cool is you buy the song, and it's then it puts it into a library that they manage for you, and you can, wherever you are, when it on whatever radio, as long as it's connected to this service, you can access your library of songs and stream from them your library of songs. Plus, you can go to your PC or your Mac and you can download them DRM free and put them into your own normal library. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it sounds like some interesting stuff happening over there. I wonder if we'll get something similar over this side.
I think we will, because Pure's over here and they're pushing digital radio pretty heavily here. So I think by late this year, there'll be trials of that over here. I think the Apple TV thing will work its socks off, because there's just so many people that buy Apple stuff just for the sake of it. But whether it can compete with, you know, Fetch or TiVo, you know, I'd put Fetch and TiVo up the top of the tree, T-Box next, and then, you know, where does Apple TV fit in? I don't know, but Fetch has got a really compelling offer, and by December, they'll have several ISPs jumping on to announce plans that they've got Fetch available as well, unmetered, and that's going to change for a lot of people their access to TV and IPTV content.
Do you think it'll matter that the ITV has only got 16 gigs on it and only displays a maximum 720p?
I think that's really stupid, because the Apple TV now does 1080, so why would you go backwards? So I really hope that's a spurious rumor. And I think the storage is wrong. I mean, it's so cheap to put storage in devices now. That's one thing. That's one of the gripes I've got with Apple. I mean, 32-gig, 64-gig iPads, Christ, you could get heaps more than that in these things with the size and space of storage these days. It's like they're limiting us, and I just think that you could easily fit more in there.
640K should be enough for everybody.
Was that Bill Gates that said that?
Not really, but he's been attributed to him anyway.
Oh, okay.
All right, so Trevor, what else has been happening, mate? Any other news you want to mention?
News.
Any news?
I thought that the news during the week of Telstra cutting off the internet plans is a bloody good thing. I mean, they're talking about, you know, when you reach your limit of your smartphone cap, they're going to cut you off, so no internet access.
That is. Well, that's a good idea.
Why wouldn't they be doing that up until now? That's what I say.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
so I think that's really good.
The money.
It's totally.
Hang on, Tim. Can you not lose the language, mate?
From a telco in my life.
Well, lose. You know,
complaints they're going to get at the telecommunication industry ombudsman over that. That is ridiculous. It's going the opposite way of every other telco, which caps your price and lets you have unlimited, or just slows you down or something. You don't bloody cut them off altogether just because they're using a little bit too much on a mobile network. This is a little bit too much.
They've got billions of dollars of worth of written off debt. I mean, they're writing off billions of dollars here. I mean, they're better off capping it and talking to people about their plans, and people should be on bigger plans. It's a simple thing. People, if you don't have the right plan, get on the right plan. If you're a kid, an 11-year-old, and you're using $7,000 worth of data, your parents shouldn't be responsible for checking that every 5 minutes of the day. Your parents should be able to say, you know what, I want a plan for my kids. This is, I want a plan that stops making phone calls and everything if you reach your cap. I just don't want to pay more than what I've committed to pay.
Or use prepaid. Prepaid's the way to go.
Are you getting paid by Telstra now or something?
Hey,
Tim, I've bagged Telstra plenty in my time. If you can't see the good things they've been doing over the last 2 months, you're blind, mate. They've changed their pricing, they've changed their customer service, they've changed heaps. Yeah, they're not perfect, and they're not the cheapest, but they've done massive things. And if you can't see that, preventing bill shock...
I don't work for the telecommunication industry ombudsman anymore, so I can't see it at the moment. But when I used to work for them, Telstra was the worst telco by far.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it wasn't about numbers, it was about the fact that it was 9 out of 10 calls were Telstra customers calling to complain that Telstra was treating them like shit and f***ing them over.
And you know why? Because Telstra has the massive majority of customers, and they had the worst costs, they had bad customer service, they had all those things. And, you know, under Sol Trujillo, that was not getting any better. So under David Thodey, they've improved their prices. You know, in just 6 months, I signed my mum up. She lives in a really rural area, and they didn't have any internet for ages. They finally got ADSL, so I hooked her up. $50 a month, and she was getting like 400 meg. It was crap, but it was all I could get her. And every time I'd get there every few months, I'd do a Windows update, and I'd basically use the whole 400 meg up.
Now, I know my nana was in the same situation.
In 6 months, that her plan, her $49 plan, has gone from having that 400 meg, it's up to now several gigabytes. I don't know what it is exactly, but it's now cheaper, and she's got more data. So, you know, the majority of people are finding better experience out of Telstra. Not perfect, but better experience out of Telstra in the last 5-6 months, and certainly the last 2 months, than ever before.
All right. Good stuff. All right, let's move on from Telstra. It's quite boring.
Didn't they just sack 250 people or something?
I don't know. Let's move on. Anyway, Trevor, walk any news, tech news, mate? Let's get into some proper news, mate.
Yeah, proper sure. News. Proper news is good. Android has now announced this week an application called Voice Actions for Android. Voice Actions are a series of spoken commands that let you control your phone using your voice. Call businesses and contacts, send texts and email, listen to music, browse the web, and complete common tasks all just by speaking into your phone. To use voice actions, tap the microphone button on the Google search box on your home screen, or press down for a few seconds on the physical search button on your phone to activate the Speak Now screen. I think it'd be great if you can dictate your text messages and email through your phone while you're driving so you don't have people texting.
I think there's an app for that too, Warlock, I think.
There is.
For the iPhone?
There is. There is an app for that. Continue.
But it's amazing how much better voice recognition is getting, isn't it? I mean, you know, think 10 years ago, Dragon, naturally speaking, all that sort of stuff. It was just crap, basically. It worked, but it was quite a lot of work to get it going. And now, you know, I've got sat navs that you recognize suburbs that are quite difficult to name. So it's quite awesome, the power of voice control these days.
Have you tried the Windows one? Does it work for you? Voice recognition?
I haven't used Windows voice recognition, no.
Okay. Last time I tried it, it didn't work.
I've actually only seen it working really well on mobile devices. So I've got a Garmin sat-nav that has it. And I said Wurrunga, which is a really hard suburb to name, and I got it right. I mean, just little simple things, but it's just better. There's no doubt about that. Google's probably got a lot to do with that because they're putting so much into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been training their systems up for a long time.
All right.
BlackBerry smartphone owners got official podcast support of their own recently through the launch of BlackBerry Podcast. The native app gives support for browsing and downloading podcasts in audio or video. Subscriptions also work and will both download new episodes in the background and send alerts when new episodes are ready. So a bit better than the Apple iPhone application there. The app's download shows over 3 gig and Wi-Fi, and will work with most any modern BlackBerry, including all variants of Bold, Curve, Pearl, Storm, and Tour. The low amount of included memory with the Curve, Pearl, and Tour phones will need a micro SD card, Rim said. Most phones can download podcasts through AppWorld, but BlackBerry Torch users will find it built in when the phone ships.
Pretty cool app, actually, and I'm going to hook one of my BlackBerries up on Monday to check it out, because my problem is, and you guys probably want to do the same thing, is you want to submit your podcast to it. I've logged on to the thing only half an hour ago to try and submit my podcast, and it's already been submitted somehow, and therefore I don't have control over it. So I actually want to see whether my thing's up there properly, but I want to see how it works, because this is the problem with podcasts, and I don't know how much you monitor your numbers of downloads and things, but I mean, iTunes is good because it allows people to get to it, but the problem is you can't guarantee people are going to come back into iTunes. I don't go into iTunes a lot, so to have it on the device and you know, maybe say whenever I'm in a Wi-Fi area, check for my podcasts and let me know which ones are updated, that's pretty cool. So I think that's got
a great
future of podcasting.
Definitely. If you happen to be one of the millions of Hotmail users who are having issues since the rollout of the new design, Microsoft has a fix for you. Use Google's Chrome browser. According to the Register, many of the 350 million users of the service are having some nagging issues, including disappearing messages and scripting errors on the page. Many are even experiencing a deeper issue of not being able to log into their Hotmail account at all. In all fairness, Hotmail seems to work fine via Internet Explorer, but anyone using Safari 3 or Firefox 2 might have some serious problems. While Microsoft continues to look into the problem, the Google Chrome suggestion strikes a humorous note. Some customers have indicated that if they use Google Chrome to view their Hotmail account, they no longer encounter this problem, says Microsoft. I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, it is the best web browser these days, by far.
Yeah, I've pretty much ended up on default. Does everyone pretty much use it as default now?
Yep.
Yeah. I use Firefox at home on my Mac, but Chrome at work because Firefox was having some issues with the Seismic Twitter application, web application. It wasn't refreshing or displaying information properly, but Chrome seems to cope with it a lot better.
Speaking of Chrome, I've got the new Chromium beta build here, and they've redesigned the interface slightly again with the menu on the right-hand side, and now it's got this really cool zoom thing and cut, edit, paste menus that are really original.
Cool.
Anyway, up on the screen. Hey,
no, Tim, just on that, sorry to interrupt news, but Tim, I haven't actually tried the Chromium because I just haven't had a spare PC, but frankly, I haven't turned on my netbook since I've had the iPad. I'm wondering, is it actually difficult to give it a whirl now and muck around with it?
I'm not talking about the OS. I'm just talking about Chromium is also the browser's open source development version name too.
Okay, yep.
So I'm just saying the upcoming version is going to have like this new cool menu thing.
Cool.
But yeah, I have done two video reviews of the Chromium OS, and it's about to get to version 1 soon, isn't it? I think. It's going to be released by the end of the year, they said.
Cool.
Yeah. Neat. And lastly, mobile security firm Lookout today warned a booby-trapped movie player application is infecting Android phones in Russia with a virus that sends costly text messages. Russia-based Kaspersky Lab discovered the malicious Trojan code hidden in a media player application people are enticed to download onto smartphones. The new malicious program penetrates smartphones running Android in the guise of a harmless media player application, Kaspersky said in a blog post. The Trojan uses the system to begin sending SMSs to premium rate numbers without the owner's knowledge or consent, resulting in money passing from a user's account to that of the cyber criminals. The Trojan has so far apparently only affected handsets operating in Google-backed Android software in Russia. The media player does ask users to authorize services that cost you money prior to installation, according to Lookout, which advised people to protect themselves by refusing to grant such permission.
Good stuff,
just
mate.
Just don't do it.
Excellent news, as always, Warlock.
There's been some breaking news I've just found.
Hang on, Tim, for a sec, will you? Just hang on for a sec. I know I've got to ask Trevor a question. About the iPhone 4, Trev, what do you reckon of it? Is it a good phone, mate? Is it, you're going to keep it and use it all as your main phone?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it as my main phone. I can live without my BlackBerry with work because I just don't get enough work emails after hours. So, I'm going to stick with it as my main phone. And what I'll do is I'll wait for the torch to come out here and I'll give that a try. And that's probably what will maybe take me back to BlackBerry. But for now, the iPhone 4 rocks over the 9700.
Wicked.
And Trevor, also, Trevor, no call drops?
No. I mean, I'm the Optus. So, I've got really crappy service in my area and one other place on the way home. And that's where I always got call drops, and I can force a call to drop through the death grip.
Death grip.
Only if I've got two bars, and I try and make a call, I can death grip it really hard, and it's quite uncomfortable to do, and make a call drop, but not in general normal usage.
Okay. And also, Trevor, but just before I forget to ask you, now you're live on Ustream each week, are you, mate? Doing your podcast.
Thursday's around 9:30 Sydney time, just to muck around because I've got to record it somehow, so yep. I may as well do it live for the poor tragics that want to jump on board. So yeah, it's good fun. Okay. 9:30 Sydney time.
What's the address for that?
Ustream.com/your-tech-life, I think it is, something like that. But if you follow Brad or me on Twitter, you'll get the link.
Yeah, it's Ustream TV /your-tech-life.
Beautiful.
That's it. And just for people, how do you actually prepare your podcast, Trevor? What do you do to upload and stuff?
You mean content wise or technology?
Like sort of how do you prepare your podcast? Where do you upload it to and that sort of thing and that sort of stuff?
Where do you host it?
Yeah, host it and stuff, yeah.
Okay, so real quick, basically, I've got the Mac at home and a mixer and whatnot, and then so I get a lot of emails during the week from either the radio stuff or just from podcast listeners, and I get in touch with every single one of them trying to see whether they'll jump on the phone and have a chat. So I set aside a couple of nights a week to talk to people, and I record those calls as well as any interviews I want to do, just through the week that I come across. And then on a Thursday night, I'll have done my segment on Melbourne radio and on Sydney radio, so I get all of those things, and I edit them all together, so they're just all little tiny segments, all the calls and all the people, and then I sit down and we do the live thing where I just talk and introduce each segment. And once it's done, it's just in a WAV file.
Yep.
And what I do is I bring it into iTunes and I convert it to an MP3, low bitrate MP3 in iTunes, and then I just upload it using good old Cyberduck. I've got my own web server. Upload it to there, and then I've got a little app that we wrote in Perl on the web that converts it. I just type in the info and it puts it into the XML, and bingo, it's available everywhere via iTunes or any XML feed. And what I do is I use PodTrack, which is a sort of third party that does stats, because I got sick of looking at server logs basically. And so every single access to the audio file, to the MP3 file, goes via PodTrack and allows me to look at my stats whenever I want.
Cool. Ron, I just seen your message, mate. Talk away. You're feeling left out, mate. Ask a question to any people. Go ahead, Ron.
No, I didn't mean any offense. Just that sometimes when you get a few people in there, there's not a lot of, I don't know. The iPhone 4 sounds great. Probably won't get one. I'll probably get the, I'm going to get the MiFi Virgin Mobile next month.
Yep.
Then I'll probably save up to get a iPad. In the meantime, I'll use my iPod Touch second generation as a phone and internet device for when I'm running around.
Now, you do a video podcast as well, Ron. Explain to people about that as well, mate.
Well, I recently went through a change to try to appeal to people from different areas. Of course, I can't find my information. The idea that I was hoping to do is, like, if you have a question, you can come to the show and we'll hopefully have some people with some answers. I switched the times. I think it's like Mondays at 3 p.m. That'll be for the U.S. people and the European people who can catch it. And then to try to catch some of you guys down under. Gonna have, like, I think it's like 8 o'clock on Thursdays.
Is that 8 a.m. our time? Is it or 8 p.m.?
Yeah,
8 a.m. or 8 p.m. Mean,
well, it'd be 8 p.m. my time.
Oh, okay. Yep. All right. Okay. What's the name of your show?
Change,
right?
A little if it's still too early for you.
No, that's cool, mate. What's the name of your shows, mate?
Oh, right now it's just gonna be Ron Knight's show.
Oh, you're not gonna know. Okay. What happened to the other names? The other name of the shows? Yeah.
Well, since I decided to bury my PCs again, I'm not going to have a PC show and a Mac show.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't want to talk about PCs that much.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, you should just do one podcast a week, mate, and it's, pretty easy to do.
Yeah, it's just that I don't know. I want to try to broaden my availability. I mean, for like you guys, it's one time, and... for the U.S. people in Europe, it's another time, and try to fit in like that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now I'm also doing. I kind of invited myself onto lockernown.com. They usually invite you, but I asked him if he'd be interested in having me, and he invited me. So
good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, Trevor. Just do you know much about Chris Perrello? Do you follow many tech people on Twitter and stuff?
I slowly try and grab as many of them as I can. I try and grab definitely anyone I've been to press conferences and stuff with, but I don't get to many. What I do is I use a little lists on Twitter these days. So for example, I follow Robert Scoble's got a tech pundits list, which is pretty cool because you can just sort of generally get a gist of what's happening in the US.
Yep.
And there's a couple of IT journo lists around, so I sort of follow those. And then people that I have one-on-ones with, I jump on and follow them. But Chris Perrello doesn't ring a bell.
Okay, so you don't know that's cool. Yeah, he does a website and stuff, and pretty cool videos and stuff.
He doesn't have a lot in the way of live shows, guys, in case you haven't noticed. He does have a 24-hour feed, but the majority of the time you're seeing his desk or his screensavers. And then sometimes he'll be working on stuff but not really participating with the audience. And then sometimes he announces that he's doing YouTube recordings, and then that's when there's some participation with the audience.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, I think live stuff. I mean, I'm only doing the live thing on Ustream because I'm literally sitting. I used to only 3 weeks ago. I would do the podcast. I would record all the little bits and I'd put it all together in an editor. But now I do it so that I do it as live, and I just thought, well, may as well broadcast it while I'm doing it. But you know, live stuff, I just think if we're going to go linear like that, then you may as well be on TV. But you know, podcasts are about being non-linear and on-demand, so you just do it as long as you do it consistently, and that for me is the key. And you guys know that for me, the key is that I want to have my podcast done and out by, it used to be Friday nights, but now I try and aim for have it out on Thursday night, so that you get people got a consistency and a regularity to their lives, and I can see that in the way people download it and the times. So the key is for me is about when a podcast is available and to get a routine into listening to it.
Can you give us any podcasting tips at all, Trevor, for our show at all? You got any tips for us?
God, you've been doing it probably better than I have, but you know, for me it's about the audience. You always got to think about the audience. And you know, it's hard. Some people listen to my thing and go, you know, it's a bit too boring or layman's terms and stuff, but I'm talking to, and we've said this before, I'm talking to a real layman's audience. I'm talking to mums and dads and some kids that aren't real tech heads. It's about thinking about who the audience is, giving them a consistent product. And you know, so for me, my point of difference is the calls and doing a talkback show, because that's my background, is talkback radio. So that's what I do. I do a talkback radio podcast. You've got to have a unique selling point, and you've got to have a commitment to the audience, and you've got to know what the audience want. And you know, I think then quality is important, obviously. It's obviously difficult when, you know, and the only thing that we do here is we sort of got to, I probably talk way too much in this one, I apologize, but it's because I'm not used to doing sort of round tables where I'm not sitting and looking at everyone. But the good thing about doing it via Skype is you do have the multiple, you can see the levels of who's talking, so you can address people and talk to people. But you know, I sit down for about half an hour before the show, before the live part of the show, and actually write down every step of the stage, what I'm going to do. So I know what I'm going to do, what I've got to intro, when I've got to plug sponsors, when I've got to play a sting. I know every part of the show, and then I can just do it, boom, straight through. In the same way that you would a radio show. And you don't sit behind a microphone to do a live radio show without knowing basically what you want to do for the entire, whether it's 1 hour or 6 hours. You know, I did 6 hours last Christmas Day on 2GB, and you got to sit there and you got to go, okay, we're going to do this at this time and that and this time, and in between we'll try and take some calls. You got to know what you're going to do so that you can make sure the end product is slick and people will enjoy listening to it as a flow through.
Good stuff. And what's the best way to get sponsors for the podcast? Like, what's the best way?
I think sponsorship is about relationships. I mean, I don't make a whole stack of money. It just covers the cost kind of thing. But it's about relationships with companies and building relationships. I don't think there's any real way to go out and get someone selling ads on podcasts. So I think you've got to have literally hundreds of thousands of listeners to be able to get that kind of thing. When you're in the thousands or tens of thousands, you've just got to have relationships with people and hope that you can build something up that's going to get them to want to support you. And you know, I think that's about listener interaction too. You know, I know that I get listener interaction, and you know, so I can help companies out because they know that there's people getting in touch with me, and they hear the same thing because they get in touch with them as well. You got to have stats. You got to have justification for what you're doing, and basically, someone's got to believe in you. That's what it's about.
Exactly. All right. Good stuff, mate. All right. So, Tim, what's going on with Linux, mate? Any Linux news?
Tim dropped out about 10 minutes ago, I reckon.
He left.
Yeah.
Brushed us. I think he got upset.
God.
Maybe I mentioned Telstra too many times. I think he may have had a childhood experience with Telstra none of us need to go into, but there's some counselling required there, Tim. Call me.
Okay. All right, I didn't know he left. Warlock, what's going on with the iPhone? Have you made any updates with that?
No, I haven't heard anything back from Telstra to availability yet, so we'll see what happens. I'm wondering, with Telstra now going to compete on the level, consumer level now with the other ISPs and providers and carriers, maybe they'll have even better download quotas. I know Trevor was talking about the quotas and cutoffs earlier, but I haven't had a problem with them. My account with them, there may be a lot of consumers don't know, but there's actually a online meter where you can go on there and see in almost real time how much data you've used up so far this month, and you can put a system on there. You can put a selection that when you get to 80% of your quota, it sends you an SMS saying, hey, you've used up 80% of your quota, just as a warning. And then when you've used up 100%, it sends you another SMS.
I knew that you could monitor it. I didn't know you could get alerts. I mean, I get alerts from my bank about things, but that's awesome. And you know what? That reminds me of a really cool app for anyone that's got an iPhone or an iPad. It's called Quota. And I think it's an Australian app. But what I've just launched the app. And in front of me, at a glance, I can see my Optus data and phone call usage, my BigPond data usage, my Twitter account follower, my Google Analytics, how many website hits, Google AdSense, how much money's come through, Dropbox, data availability, Qantas frequent flyer point, my eTOL balance, and the 3G balance of my iPad, all at a glance on this app. It's brilliant, and it takes a good hour to set up because you've got to log into all of those places and get all your passwords and everything. But that's what people got to do. You got to monitor your usage. I mean, I've never hit a data cap with either a phone or internet at home, apart from once I was doing some stuff at home and I needed gigabytes and gigabytes. But I just think you've got to be aware, don't you?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Just common sense. There's also, I don't know if people are aware with the Telstra one, there's a mobile, there's a number that you can send an SMS to from your mobile, which has got the data on it with Telstra. 176, and if you send the SMS the word use, U-S-E, to there, it'll send you back a usage of how much you've used up for this month and a short update of the last four or five sessions that you've used, and tells you how many megabytes in each of those sessions are used. So it's not that hard. People just need to be a little bit proactive.
Yep, exactly.
Good stuff. All right, okay, before we go, I just want to give a quick shout-out to a couple of people. Daniel and Gabe actually donated some money to the Tech Webcast. Thanks very much for that last week.
Sweet.
And I said I'll give them a shout-out, so hello to you guys.
You guys rock.
Yep. Also, iPad, some iPhone apps coming up. Warlock, what's the update with that, mate? Any updates with the iPad apps or iPhone apps?
Well, I'm just about going into Beta 2 for the Tech Talk Radio app. And cool. Once that gets going underway, I'll start working on the Tech Webcast app.
Good. Okay, well, I'll get my phone on Monday, mate, so I can test it for you as well on Monday.
Awesome.
And, yeah. And
I sent my codes. I look forward to mucking around with them.
Awesome.
Good stuff.
It'd be great.
And, Ron, where can they find you on the internet?
Well, ronknights.com, and Twitter, it's Ron Knights. Everywhere, it's Ron Knights, basically.
Okay, and where can they find you, Trevor?
Trevor Long on Twitter, at Trevor Long, and yourtechlife.com.
Okay, and what about you, Warlock? Where can they find you, mate, on the interwebs?
You can find me at jasonoakley.me. The business name that I set up for iPhone app programming is bluebilby.com.
Bluebilby.
The Australian Bilby.
Yep.
And on Twitter, you can find me under JASOAK, JSOAK.
Cool. And you can find me on Twitter, Brad Oz, and Tech Webcast is the Twitter name, and also the blog, techwebcast.info.
Yeah,
that's the one. And coming up next week, we're going to have Lon on from this weekend. Oh, yeah, him, that guy. The guy who made that song is going to be on next week, apparently.
Hope so. That'll be awesome.
Yeah.
I was watching some of his other songs today, the Steve Jobs song and the I Want to Be Stephen Fry's Friend song.
So yeah, yeah. He also had one
I Had Root Canal song.
Oh, really?
So you could write a song about anything.
God, yeah. Yeah, maybe you can write a song about about your show, Trevor, maybe.
Well, you never know. He might bag me. Let's hope he's a Telstra hater like Tim.
He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Tim, it was good having you on, mate, for the time you're on. And I know you don't like Telstra, but hey, what can you do?
Don't hold it against me, Timmy.
Yeah, don't. Yeah.
Doesn't like Telstra or Apple or Windows. So,
what's left in the world?
That's it. All right. Well, this has been episode 88. Thanks for being on, guys. And make sure you download it on iTunes, and Podomatic is where you can find the
show. And a review on iTunes.
Yep, leave us a review on iTunes, and email us if you've got a question for us. That's about it. Thanks.
This is Tech Web. Computers.
Technology. Gadgets.
And other geeky stuff.
It's on iTunes. It's awesome.
And it's from the future.
Follow us at twitter.com/techwebcast.
And
on Facebook. And check techwebcast.info for info. Tech Webcast.
Turn on. Tune in. Drop off.